the thing. Most of us are chronically online, including myself. It's hard not to be these days, but studies have shown just how taxing a digital existence can be. Luckily for the folks in Northwest Ohio, there is an ever-present outlet for escaping the pull of our curated algorithms, our metro parks. I'm Erin Holden, editor-in-chief of the Toledo Free Press. Each week, I'll be shadowing a different person at various metro parks to see how they are taking advantage of our expansive park system. Whether you are a runner, bird watcher, fisherman, or a mom who just wants your kid to get some fresh air and exercise at the playground, our parks really present infinite possibilities for outdoor experiences. And that's what I'll be doing on this podcast, exploring those possibilities with local folks like you who use Metro Parks Toledo in your day-to-day lives. Because if you want to get away from your screens and back to nature, Toledo's public spaces really do make that a walk in the park. Some of my earliest memories include fishing in central Louisiana with my dad. Sometimes we'd walk along the muddy banks of a local waterway, fishing from shore. Sometimes we'd be out on the water in his boat. He taught me and my sister how to fish when we were little, and he had us practicing our casts in our front yard with our Minnie Mouse-themed rods. We had a lot of fun out on the water, sometimes with our pet basset hounds along for the ride. Those are great memories for me. I met with Mario Campos, the owner of Mommy Tackle Fishing Outfitters at the oldest metro park, Sidecut, on the park's 96th birthday. I wanted to try my hand at fishing along the Mommy River, and Mario had plenty of tips to share. Hey, Mario. Thanks for meeting me out here. Cool. Not much. I'm really excited to do some fishing with you today and ask you some questions about what it's like to fish at Sidecut Metro Park.
Yeah, we're down here on the banks of the Mommy. Beautiful day.
Yeah, it's a really nice day, a little warm, but still nice.
Yeah.
So you're the owner of Mommy Tackle Fishing Outfitter, so I know you're quite knowledgeable about fishing.
Right.
Did you start when you were a kid or a little later in life?
A little later in life. I've always been interested in the outdoors, but my family wasn't, their idea outdoors was painting the porch or working on a garage.
Yeah.
So I had to learn to fish from the hobos down by the train.
Oh my gosh, yeah. what a way to learn.
The bums taught me how to fish.
I love it.
Yeah.
I have a few more questions for you, but let's move away from, you know, alongside the road here and go toward the river, and you could maybe teach me a little bit about fishing.
Sounds good. Follow me.
All right.
I found a poison ivy-free path.
Oh, that's great.
Baby steps. There is some drop-off.
Oh, yeah.
And then right here, right behind me, here's the drop-off.
Okay, I see it.
Got it?
Yep, I think I'm good. Sit. Okay, there we go.
You got it.
I made it.
Right on. Let's head over to this rocky.
Yeah, sounds good.
You got a little more space.
Okay, so I have to ask more questions about the guys that you learned to fish from, because that's pretty intriguing. So where were you guys fishing, and how did you, like, approach them to get you to, you know, learn how to fish?
Well, I was an active little boy running around down the river by the train yards. I grew up in the hood, so to speak.
And where was this exactly?
South Toledo.
South Toledo. Well, that's where I live. I live in South Toledo.
But we're pretty poor. We didn't have money to buy, so I do a little dumpster diving, grab some fishing poles, and the hobos would trick me into digging up worms all night. Right? Bring some worms and we'll teach you how to fish. I'm out there digging all night.
You're helping them out.
Helping them out.
Oh, nice.
But they showed me some tricks, and I learned to fish a little bit.
Yeah. That's very cool. So was that like around Swan Creek there? Is that where you would fish then?
Swan Creek, down by the train yards.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Where you look and you go, I don't want to go there.
Right.
That's where I was.
Yeah. So I know you're a father of six, and you have four grandkids, right?
All boys.
Okay, and do you take them fishing often?
Absolutely.
What has it been like teaching them this skill?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Obviously, it's a passion of mine down here on the Maumee River. You know, passing that on, teaching young men. You know, I'm ex-military, so that kind of flows with my teaching the young men how to be men. And that applies to everything, you know, fishing skills, outdoor skills, kayaking, how to change a tire, you name it.
Yeah.
What it takes to be a man. So.
Yeah, fishing is definitely a really good life skill. My dad used to take me fishing when I was a kid, and my sister as well, and we always really enjoyed it. Haven't done it much in my adult life, but we really had a good time, you know? So how long have you been fishing here at Sidecut Metro Park?
Pretty much my whole life that I've been in the back and forth in the Toledo area. But this stretch of the river, from Perrysburg and Maumee all the way up to Grand Rapids is what we call natural river bottom. If you go to downtown Toledo, that's been dredged out for the shipping channels, the Great Lakes ships.
Okay.
So we got 30 foot of mud down there, okay? Once you get to Maumee and Perrysburg, now if you can see, it's shallow, rocky, brushy, okay? It's undeveloped. So all the fish from Lake Erie swim up. They ignore the mud in downtown Toledo. And once they hit the natural river bottom, well, now they have prey, they have fish to eat, they have bushes to hide in, they have rocks to lay their eggs. Bam, we're in one of the best fishing spots in the United States of America. People don't even know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you feel like not enough people know about it, so it needs to be promoted more, that there's good fishing here?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I'm a little bit international famous in the fishing community because of this stretch of the river. We had 10,000 people in March and April from out of town come to fish the Maumee River.
Oh, right.
Maybe a third of that are local because it's underappreciated locally. However, we had people fly in from almost every country in Africa, Ireland, Uzbekistan, a big Chinese contingent, people all over the world.
Yeah. Is that for the walleye run?
Fishing the Maumee River.
Wow.
Yep, walleye and white bass. March and April and May, they come in to fish.
Okay.
From all over the world.
What fish do you usually try to catch in this part of the Maumee River?
So here in this natural part of the Maumee, it's kind of seasonal. March and April, the walleye come in from Lake Erie in by the millions. They come up here to spawn because, again, it's natural river bottom. One of the best things about this section of the river is the Toledo Metro Parks. I've been around the world. We have, I don't know, top one or two metro parks in the world. I'm not playing.
Seriously.
They take care of them. We have a lot of public access. We are standing 50 foot from the road.
I know,
and
that's
it's
incredible.
Dead silent. It feels, if you look over here, you can't tell we're in Northwest Ohio.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
So between the metro parks and the natural river bottom, this is one of the best spots to fish in the U.S. I'm not kidding. So we're kind of well known.
And what kind of fish do you find here? I mean, we mentioned the walleye. Oh,
there we go. So
bass.
The walleye come in March and April by the millions. And then in May, the white bass come in to spawn. The white bass come in, and it's an official count, about a bozillion of them. Okay?
Official.
Maybe a gozillion. They come in, and it'd be nothing for any of us, first day of fishing in your life, to catch 50 of them.
Oh my gosh,
they're voracious.
Crazy.
It's so much fun for the kids. So that's the white bass. Then in May, the water gets a little hotter, and the white bass go out to Lake Erie. The walleye have gone out to Lake Erie, because fish are governed by temperature. The water gets warm. Now the catfish and the smallmouth bass start to feed. And that's what we're in right now. June, July, August, catfish, smallmouth, bass.
Nice. Love catfish.
Yeah.
What fish are you most excited to catch when you go fishing?
You know, the big one on the end of my hook.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. I'm not a snob.
Right.
I just like fishing. It's fun.
And what's your favorite time of year to go fishing? I know they're all different. You can catch different fish different
obviously,
times.
Obviously, late spring.
Okay.
Late spring when it warms up and my bones aren't as cold.
Yes.
Yeah. So we get there during that time. It's good to get some walleye. You can get some white bass. And they're great table fare. You know, keep a couple. Got some sandwiches for dinner. You know, this time of year, one of my kids, like I said, I got a bunch of boys. I've got one that could eat catfish every day if I'd let him. So, so we might go this afternoon, get a couple catfish for dinner.
Walleye and perch, I've really enjoyed, you know, starting to eat
so
up here.
So it's perch season coming on right now out on Lake Erie. So.
Yes, that's right.
Yep.
And for folks new to fishing, describe what lures are and specific kinds that are out there and what seem to work best out here for fishing lures.
So fishing lures, if you're brand new to fishing, what we like to do is we start you off with a simple hook and bobber.
Okay.
Right? What do we put on the end of those? Worms.
Right.
Real simple.
Okay.
A lot of times, and there's another bait that I like to teach the young ones. People get grossed out, but if you start young, you'll know it's the best bait. So I'm gonna quiz you with the fishing quiz. I hit the 10-year-olds.
Okay, sure.
All right. Where do worms live, Aaron?
In the dirt, in
the
mud.
In the dirt. Where do fish live?
In the water.
In the water. Where do leeches live?
In the water, in the shallows, right? Like in the shallows, water. Yeah.
So if you ever catch a fish and you're cleaning it, somebody's cleaning it, you see kind of a bunch of black goo in their belly. That's leeches.
Oh, gross.
The best bait for fishing is leeches.
It's their natural bait. I've put worms and crickets on hooks, but I'm having a hard time imagining hooking a leech. Ugh, I don't know. Maybe I'll work up to that one day if I progress as a fisherwoman.
It's a little creepy because of movies, but leeches, for those who know, leeches are the best bait.
Okay. Yeah, is that pretty common amongst experienced fishermen? Do a lot of people think to use leeches?
Yep.
Okay.
Leeches and minnows. And then minnows are your little tiny fish, you know, bait fish.
Right.
Once you advance past that, you've got your leeches and your worms and all that, and you get bored, which people do, then you move on to your fake baits.
Okay.
Okay, then you're using a plastic lure that replicates.
Yes.
Replicates a crawfish, replicates a minnow, replicates a leech. Fly fishermen, one of their favorite baits, their little flies, it's called a woolly bugger. And it's a piece of black yarn that kind of wiggles around, looks like a leech.
Oh, right? I think I would stick with one of those instead of the real thing. Yeah. My sister and I also used to go fishing with my grandfather, and we would use crickets a lot with him.
Crickets and grasshoppers in the fall.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you hear them peeping around and jumping. There's a little saying we use. It's called match the hatch. So in the spring, minnows, everything's just waking up. Minnows, leeches, that kind of thing. So those are the prevalent bait. Hot summer, there's crawfish.
Oh, right.
Crawfish are coming out. So you throw in fake crawfish or live crawfish. Uh-huh. In the fall, you got grasshoppers and crickets popping around. So now you're using grasshoppers, fake crickets, whatever, because that's what they're feeding on. So
I have seen, not so much out here yet, but some little, you know, I know what the little crawfish holes look like. They're little mounds. So you just kind of search for those and you...
Well, a lot of them, these shallow rocks.
Oh, you can find them in there too.
It's a little different than, because it's Nairn's from Louisiana. So it's a little different because we got 9 months of winter here. So,
yeah, right. They're not as prolific.
Right.
But you do see their little mounds around.
A few here and there, but nothing like that.
Yeah. So how does fishing at Sidecook compare to other spots along the Maumee River? Like, what are some comparisons you can give
there? It's one of the best spots in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stress that enough. Because we have access to all this natural river bottom. That's an island. We have Bluegrass Island, Buttonwood Campground over there. Further downstream, there's a bunch of little nicknames for part of the river, the Rock Pile, the Shallows. Upstream, all the way up to Grand Rapids Dam, we've got about a 13-mile stretch that's just magic. You wouldn't believe you're in Northwest Ohio.
That's incredible. Before we got started, you talked a little bit about changes to the river over time, like how it looks muddier now than it used to. So tell me a little more about that.
So we're called the Muddy Maumee. The river's brown, green, as a result of the forest. This was all forest, say 200, 250 years ago.
Yeah.
It was all forest, and then we had the Great Black Swamp. The Black Swamp acts as a natural filter. Big giant filter for all the nutrients, mud, overflow, whatnot. Same with the trees. Once everybody moved in and cut down all the forest and started building houses, factories, farms, all that dirt and runoff flows into the Maumee unfiltered. Okay, now we're looking at grass, we're looking at some trees. That's not a full-blown forest, right? We've got a highway over here, we got a subdivision over there.
Right?
So all that goes into the river. So if you look at paintings, or if you're able to talk to an old timer whose grandfather was alive 200 years ago, the river was blue. You see some of these old paintings, and I'm talking 200 years ago, some of the Native American stuff, and they show the river as blue in all these paintings. Once in a great while, if the rain, the wind, the air, humidity, everything's right, the Maumee will turn blue for a day or two. It's an interesting phenomenon. I'm not sure exactly how that happens, but it's people stop and take pictures. So, you know, it's a result of progress, so to speak, that we've muddied up the Maumee.
Right. Do you normally fish alone, or do you come with your kids and grandkids most often?
Well, I run a bait and tackle shop, okay? So I prefer to take the kids, friends, family, coworkers, whatever. But part of my business is business research. If I don't know what's biting, I can't tell people what to fish for.
Yeah, you have to do your research.
So often I'm driving around, I'll hop out, and I'll fish for half an hour, 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Man, it's a tough job. Let me tell you, running a business fishing like that, you know? So, business research is what I call it.
I love it.
And everybody's like, what are you doing, research? Yeah, I'm researching.
Yes, I love that. It's a fun kind of research. Yeah. What's the biggest fish that you've caught out here?
Ooh, there's a species of fish called buffalo. People call them buffalo carp, but they're called a buffalo. They come in from Lake Erie in the spring. They get 40, 50 pounds. They're giant. Gosh.
I had no idea there were fish that big you can catch in the Maumee. Those buffalo carp are as big as my kindergartner.
A couple years ago, I caught a buffalo walleye fishing. It was a foot thick. It was every bit of 40 pounds.
Oh,
so much fun. So much fun.
And did he put up a pretty good fight? Like,
you know,
did it take a while?
He just kind of swam in towards me. It wasn't that hard to catch.
Oh, wow.
But when he got close to shore, I had to jump in and tackle him.
Okay.
I wasn't letting go. But
so with those, you have to get pretty hands-on.
Yeah.
When it's time, you got to get in and get them.
It's
got
fun.
It.
It's fun.
What advice would you give to someone fishing here for the first time?
Don't go alone.
Okay.
The river can be treacherous.
Okay.
Even on calm, you know, we walked, there's a lot of holes.
Yes.
You might be walking next to the river, you know, just easing out ankle deep in the river. The next deep step's 10 foot deep.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of drop off.
So
always let somebody know where you're going.
Right.
Take a friend. It's more fun mm-hmm. with a friend anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so
a good safety
that way
tip.
You can someone to verify your fish stories.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And what keeps you coming back to fish at Sidecup Metro Park? I mean, you've already said that this is one of the best places to fish in the world.
There's peace to be found out here. It's beautiful. There's peace, good for the soul, a little bit of Mother Nature. If you go to the book of Luke, the first four apostles that Jesus got were fishermen.
Uh-huh.
He didn't pick a single one up in a synagogue.
Right.
They're out here, so you got a better chance of running into them out here. All right, so we'll launch out here. Let's see what we got.
Okay.
You know, you never know what you're gonna find. Oh, there we go. There's something jumping out there.
Okay, yeah, sounds like
now,
a big one.
Now, we're in kind of shallow water. Don't let that deceive you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the fisherman's instinct that is wrong is that you have to cast across the whole river.
Okay.
Or that you have to cast as far as you can.
Right.
If I could go 2 more feet, that's where the big one is. Not
mm-hmm,
true.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times there's big 3-4 footers right here next to shore.
Yeah.
Chasing little bait fish.
Right. Yeah. They like to be by rocks and like tree
rocks,
roots and stuff like that, like
bushes over there.
Yes.
That's where the 4-foot pike is hiding.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hoping to get a frog or something.
Okay, so I want to try it out and you can give me some tips on.
Sure, what you have is a spinning reel. This is one of the better reels. When young ones learn to fish, 3-4 years old, I discourage the push button poles.
Mm.
Everything's the opposite, they're toys. They're not very good fishing.
That's what I started with, yeah.
Yep, they're not very good. They're convenient for the parent, not for the fisherman.
Okay.
So what we do is I have a little mantra. Finger, click, point.
Mm-hmm.
So you hook your finger on the fishing line,
okay.
Like that.
There'd
be
right.
One finger on a fishing line.
Okay.
Then you click open the bail.
Okay.
Now your line's released.
Yes.
And then when you cast, you point. And that releases the line.
Okay. So just
so you
like
do
that.
Hard.
Okay. Like that.
But you point that finger.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
Finger, click, point.
Nice.
Yep. And then you close the bail and you catch a whopper.
Okay.
That's
simple. You just wait.
Now,
there's
another thing that we call beginner's luck.
All right, what's the
beginner's luck? It's a real thing.
Okay.
Beginner's luck, that's it. Fishermen are superstitious.
Uh-huh.
We have all sorts of beliefs. If it's your first couple days of fishing, you're gonna catch a whopper. Mm-hmm. It's simple as that.
Okay,
you could have a guy that's fishing his whole life next to you. He's gonna catch nothing.
Uh-huh.
But the beginner will catch a whopper. There you go.
Nice, okay.
Finger, click, point. You got it, you got it.
Yeah, so what lure are you using today and what would that be for?
So we're tossing out a topwater lure. And what that does, we're looking for smallmouth bass today. So what that does, it replicates, floats on the top of the water, and it replicates a minnow or a fish that's wounded, mm-hmm. a frog, something like that, kind of splashing around on top. And that attracts the, you know, that attracts the fish, whatever it is. And then, you know, fingers crossed, they smash it.
Yeah, right.
And we get to catch a trophy.
Nice. Yeah. And how long do you normally stay out? Like, in order to catch some fish out here, how long should I expect to, you know, really get some bites if I'm fishing for the first time?
You never
time
know.
Not sure.
People have different amounts of patience.
Yeah.
Fishing. Some can't stand it because it's boring. Mm-hmm. I could be out here all day and catch
right.
nothing.
Well, like you
and
said,
have
it's
a
peaceful.
Great time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. I'm sure it's good for our attention spans. We've talked a lot on this show about how
people
are on their phones too much. It's like a good reset, probably.
Yeah. It's that generation should be embarrassed with their 7 second. Attention span, you know, I do videos, fishing videos, you know, according to research, if I don't catch them in the first 7 seconds,
people move on.
That's it.
Yeah,
so you got to get
them
7 seconds.
True. So I didn't mention this earlier, but the first thing you'll need to do before you go fishing is get a license, right?
Right. So state of Ohio requires a fishing license. Each state is different. Out of state residents pay double that, but same thing.
Yeah.
It's always, and most of that money, from what I can tell, is funneled right back in to our conservancy efforts.
Mm-hmm.
State of Ohio, the watercraft, you know, habitat restoration. The waters are getting cleaner. It may not seem like that, but when you purchase a fishing license, it is helping our communities.
Yeah.
They're pumping it back in. One, like a small thing, frogs are an indicator of water cleanliness. There's more frogs than there's been in about 100 years, okay? Eagles, bald eagles have just been taken off the endangered list
yes.
a couple years ago.
Well, that's great.
They're protected, but now in this stretch of the Maumee, I know of at least 8 eagle nests
wow.
to where 20 years ago there was zero.
Yeah, that's so good to hear.
So they're out there.
Yeah.
Things like that, ospreys, beaver, river otters, muskrat,
yes.
all
I love
sorts
the muskrats.
Of cool things, yeah, that are. That license money helps go towards.
Yeah.
So,
oh,
and you know,
great.
with the onset of the internet, people are more aware of when something goes sideways and hold some of those places accountable
yes.
a little better.
That is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. Fortuitously, my dad happened to be in town during the recording of this episode, so I asked him to come along. I knew he would have lots of questions about what it's like to fish in Northwest Ohio, so I introduced him to Mario after our talk. So Mario, this is my dad, Brian.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. Nice to meet you.
Same here.
Yeah. So I know that you had some questions about fishing because you fish so much in Louisiana, where we're from.
Right, yeah. Primarily largemouth, where I'm from. I wanted to know more about smallmouth fishing, and you tell me that this river is good for that.
Oh, yeah. We have some good smallies here. In the river, a lot of natural habitat, rocks, drop-offs, bushes, weeds, that type of thing. So this stretch of the river, like I had said earlier, is natural river bottom. So what the smallmouth are feeding on this time of year, because we have a short summer compared to down south, crawfish, minnows. So we like throwing tube baits, which is replicates crawfish.
Stick baits. Yep.
Which will replicate a minnow or a shad that's in distress.
How about spinnerbaits?
Spinnerbaits, yeah. The only thing with spinnerbaits, a lot of rocks and bushes, you lose them.
Uh-huh.
They're productive, but that little treble hook gets caught on everything.
Yeah.
So buy cheap ones. And
kayaks, primarily john boats?
Kayaks and john boats, this part of the river, because it's shallow.
I didn't ask in the moment, but I had to look up what a john boat is. It's basically a lightweight, flat-bottom boat.
Those big, deep draft... lake boats won't cut it up here. You'll wreck it. Yeah, but good. And we get, you know, we'll see a 3 or 4 pounders come out of here occasionally.
They fight too, right?
They fight like crazy.
Yeah. I know the largemouth down home, a 5-pound bass is, you know, it's strong, but what I understand is 2.5 pounder is just as strong.
Yeah.
As a smallie. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they fight pretty hard. Some of those little smallies are tricky. You think you got a monster.
Yeah.
And one of the things about the smallmouth bass is they jump. So when you see those pictures and those of commercials of fish jumping in water, those things jump 3-4 feet in the air, flapping around.
Largemouth do too, but not that dramatic.
Right.
Right. So
right.
They're trying to spit the bait.
Trying to spit the bait out.
That's it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mario, thank you so much for taking me out here. This was a blast. It was really fun for me to revisit some fishing things I learned when I was young and learn so much more.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for having me, Aaron. Glad you got to see a beautiful piece of the river.
I checked in with my dad to see if Mario answered all of his questions about fishing Northwest Ohio's waterways.
Well, Pop, I know that we talked about you coming to Side Cut Metro Park many years ago, possibly, but we've never just stood along the river like this.
I've not been here.
Yeah, so what are your impressions?
Beautiful, yeah. From what I understand, 13 miles of this, that's a lot of good fishing. Where I'm from, a lot of good fishing there as well, but this is beautiful.
Right.
I definitely want to try it.
Yeah.
So I will, next time I come, I'll be prepared to go.
Yeah.
Get my license and whatnot.
Yeah.
No, these parks are great.
I know. Yeah, they're really beautiful. They're such a resource here.
They are.
Such a joy. I know that, I mean, you learned some things from Mario. What were some things that you took away from that conversation about fishing?
Well, I have never caught a smallmouth.
Yeah,
so he told me some things about how to catch them, the size that they are, the type of structure that they hang on to. Mm-hmm. So good stuff.
Yeah.
I intend to try the tips
when
I come back. Yep.
Yeah.
So I'll bring my gear next time I come up to visit the grandkid.
That would be really perfect, and we could take Towns out.
That's right.
I think he's the perfect age.
We did
five
it when you were a kid back home. Yeah.
I know. This was really nostalgic for me because of remembering those times when we would fish along the riverbank when I was a kid.
Flagon Creek and that. Yep.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I think it's perfect that you guys happened to be visiting here just at the time that we were recording this episode. So this really fell into play. So I'm glad that you got to chat with him and with me.
Me too. It was a joy. Yeah, he's a nice guy. He knows a lot.
Right. Yeah, he definitely does. I learned a lot.
I did too.
Well, thank you so much for visiting with him. I'm glad that you're comfortable being on the air and chatting with us.
Well, that's not my bailiwick, but I'll do it for you.
You did great. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Love you, baby.
All right. Love you.
All right.
My favorite takeaway from Mario was there's peace to be found out here. There are many references to fishing in the New Testament, as Mario mentioned, and that brought to mind something my dad always said when we were growing up. He said he didn't need to go to church because he had his spiritual needs met when he'd spend a day of solitude out on the water fishing. As I've noticed from many of the interviews I've done for this series, getting outside in nature, whether on water or on land, can be a meditative and even spiritual experience. I see a fishing trip with my son in the near future so he can look back on it fondly the way I do about my own early experiences. Now, after speaking with Mario about fishing tips, I feel even more empowered to do so. I'd like to thank Mario Campos and my dad, Brian Holden, for joining me on today's episode. Thanks as well to our production team, M.R. Herner and Chris Pfeiffer, and a special thanks to Scott Carpenter of Metro Parks Toledo. A Walk in the Park With is a collaboration between Metro Parks Toledo and WGTE Public Media. You can find our episodes at wgte.org/walkinthepark or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your host and producer, Aaron Holden. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.